Chapter 76. Tamil. It had been 2 days since the Alondrian army had left for their march back to Eremor, leaving the town of Belbridge the worse for wear. The cold, eshen winds, hinting of winter's coming presence, had managed to hold back the stench of decay from the bodies spotting the desolate landscape. The valley looked like a patch of diseased skin, waiting for its pustules to burst and seep.
Tamil, how soon till the townsfolk begin the burial process, you reckon?
Zenora pulled her aged hand from the pockets of yet another fallen lancer and scanned the contents.
5 coppers. These were some very underpaid soldiers,
she commented to herself, before moving on to the next waiting set of pockets. Her knobby fingers were arrayed in a garish display of rings. Tamil swiped the long ends of his purple headband back over his shoulder as he stopped his perusing to answer his wife.
I would say we have today and maybe tomorrow before they start burial.
He took a moment to scratch the top of his head. His feathery white hair poked out and over the silk wrap, like water bursting from a small fountain. Unlike his wife, Tamil had no rings on his fingers. Instead, he bore 2 copper-plated bracelets, one on each forearm. They were engraved with a single word. The right arm read, Rivani, and the left, Dar. Tamil and Zenora's odd assortment of colorful garments blended in with the range of colors worn by the dead soldiers. Zenora's white hair was covered in part by a silk scarf bound to her forehead with a gold chain. There were a number of small charms woven into the chain that dangled as she moved. Tamil struggled to maneuver around another of the monstrous creatures to get at a rather nice-looking dagger hanging from a lancer's belt. Unlike the other scavengers from Belbridge, who were now combing the field of dead men, Tamil and his wife had been careful in selecting their areas of exploration, making sure they managed to find the richest halls. They had scouted the location a few days prior to the battle, marking on a simple hand-drawn map where the main tents had been organized, where the officers and royalty slept, and where the armory had been situated. So far, their efforts had paid off with a nice selection of weapons and clothing, including a large assortment of belts and boots, and even a good purse or two worth of spare coinage. Altogether, it had been a fortuitous blessing to have been passing through town when they had. Tamil studied the small parchment that held their map.
Once we finish here, we need to make for that rise.
He pointed behind them on the east side of the valley.
The king spent most of his time near the top. We need to see if they left anything of value behind during all the ruckus of his death.
After scouring the bodies of the fallen High Guard and keeping well back from the whorehounds that spotted the ground, Tamil and Zenora finally reached the apex where the High King had kept his royal command post. To their disappointment, the grounds were completely devoid of all loose items. Not so much as a single tent wedge had been left.
Surely they had to have left something.
Tamil scanned the surrounding area for any sign of debris. Apart from a rather enormous black stallion, which couldn't be coaxed away from the thick underbrush on the far side of the rise, he couldn't see anything of worth.
I can't understand why this place has been so thoroughly cleaned while everything else lays in ruin.
Maybe someone beat us here.
Impossible.
Tamil stood at the front of the rise, looking out over the dead fields below.
We were here before they finished breaking camp. There's been no one else.
He turned around and pointed at the stallion.
Make sure to grab him. I guarantee he'll be worth a hefty bag of gold. He looks bred for royalty.
I wonder why they left him.
Tamil shrugged as he continued scouring the open ground.
Aha! He exclaimed with excitement. At last we have our first artifact.
He held up a broken piece of quarrel.
Looks to have come from a crossbow.
Jamil examined it further.
Look here, there's a bit of torn cloth, he said,
as he pulled the frayed piece of black material from the barb.
When was the last time you saw a whorehound wearing a silk shirt?
When was the last time you ever saw a whorehound?
His wife called out from somewhere in the overgrowth on the far side of the rise.
Good point.
He tossed the broken head back on the ground and was about to begin one final sweep when his wife's shriek startled him. Dropping his carry sack into the mud, Jamil ran toward the backside of the rise. His wife was digging around in some of the thicker shrubs directly behind where the command tent had been.
I believe we know where your arrow came from, she said,
looking down at a small pile of bodies, shrewdly tucked out of sight. They had been carefully covered with cut branches. Jamil scratched the top of his head.
This makes no sense. Why would these men have been shot by their own people, much less hidden away for no one to find?
Why else would you want to hide dead men?
To cover a crime, he said under his breath, as if making sure no one could hear his theory.
Instinctively, he glanced around the top of the rise, just to make sure they weren't being watched.
I think it's best we were going,
Jamil confessed, as he started to crawl back out of the bushes.
Whatever intrigues are being played here, we shouldn't get involved.
Hold on, I'm almost done, you old coward,
Sinora said, as she started riffling through another of the fallen guard's pockets.
Better a live coward than a dead hero, I always say. Just look at all these...
Ah!
Jamil turned in time to see his wife stumbling backwards over some of the loose branches, where she landed on her backside. Jamil rushed back through the undergrowth as fast as his knobby legs would carry him, snagging his loose trousers on a sticker vine and ripping off a small hunk of material in the process.
What happened? What's wrong?
His eyes darted in all directions. Are you all right?
Sorry, I was just startled.
She lifted her hand and pointed back to the pile of dead men.
He moved.
Jamil walked over to take a look at the fallen men.
I don't see anything.
He knelt down and took a closer look.
Which one?
Before his wife could respond, Jamil noticed a slight twitch from a hand sticking out from the bottom of the pile. Dropping to his hands and knees, Jamil started rolling back the bodies.
Quit playing in the dirt, old woman, and give me a hand.
By the time Zenora made it back to her feet and over to where he was, Jamil had shoved the last of the corpses out of the way, revealing the owner of the moving arm. Quickly, they worked to remove the thick leather overcoat he wore in the hopes of getting a look at the wounds.
Here, hand me your knife.
Zenora drew the small dagger from her waist and handed it to him. With a steady hand, Jamil cut open the back of the man's tunic.
Careful now, she scolded. We could sell that, you know.
Jamil rolled his eyes.
And who do you reckon is going to buy a shirt with three sets of holes? At least we know where the arrows came from.
They stared at the three similar holes in the man's back. The blood seeping out of the wounds was clotted and dark.
Cut me some cloth from one of the other tunics. We need to slow the bleeding enough to get him to the wagon.
How is he not dead?
Jamil pursed his lips.
If I was to guess, I'd say the pressure of the other men on top of him held back the bleeding long enough for him to survive.
The Great Father must be looking out for him.
She instinctively touched a few of the gold charms dangling from her headdress.
Aye, that he is.
We need to get him back to the wagon so I can work on him,
Zenora said, handing him a couple pieces of cut cloth.
He won't make it that far with his wounds unattended.
Zenora looked around at the surrounding foliage.
Here, use the mud. It should be enough to stop the leakage till then.
Wife, you have a stout mind in that beautiful head of yours,
Jamil remarked with an affectionate smile. He thrust his hand deep into the waterlogged soil and pulled out a fist of dark mire, It oozed between his fingers as he squeezed. He gently packed the three wounds before firmly applying the cloth bandages on top. Using the stallion, which, surprisingly, hadn't moved from its position outside the brush, they carried the man's body back down the rise, along with a couple more purses and an assortment of weapons. Jamil had left their covered wagon in a small stand of trees, just south of the rise. It was their temporary home while traveling. Its green and gold paint was in desperate need of another coating. Jamil kept promising he'd get around to it, but never seemed to find the time. It was quite the task getting the wounded man inside. Tamil opened the back door of the wagon and pulled from his end, while Zenora pushed from hers. Once inside, they managed to muscle him into a small built-in cot they had been using for additional storage space. Zenora started rummaging through some of the glass jars and vials they had stockpiled on some shelving above the cot.
"Will he live, wife?"
Zenora clicked her tongue.
"He probably won't last till evening, but at least we can sleep tonight with a clear conscience."
The young warrior had indeed managed to hold off death's sting, if only by a hair's breadth. His breathing was shallow and came in spurts, but at least it came. Tamil stood out of the way while Zenora, having cleaned the temporary mud bandages from the young warrior's back, applied one salve after another as she methodically battled the infection threatening to rip away his life.
"I am a daughter of the Darivani," she called out, "a student of the healing arts of Kozu, and this shall not beat me."
Tamil had no doubt of his wife's promise. He had seen her work some miraculous healing in his life.
"Zintari Freyestra."
She held her hands over the wounds and closed her eyes, drawing on the magical healing elements all Rivani women had been instructed in since birth.
"Zintari Folduru."
Her palms radiated a soft violet as she sent the simple spell down through the open wounds and into the pus-white infection beneath. The area around his back radiated a soft violet as well, just under the skin. The light soon faded, and the color vanished. Tamil's wife slumped down beside the small cot, resting her head on the side of the straw mattress.
"I'm getting too old for this,"
she sighed, and dozed into unconsciousness. Tamil covered her with a nearby quilt. After stowing the rest of their plunder, he tied the large stallion to the back of the old covered tinker wagon and climbed in front. The enormous black warhorse didn't seem to need any prodding. It stayed as close to the back door of the wagon as it could. Tamil wondered if it could smell some of the food they had stored inside, or if it was just happy for some company. With a single flick of the reins, Tamil turned them northward toward Keldor and home. He hoped, for Zenora's sake, the young man survived.